I can appreciate some of the advantages of having to do the teaching two times, because now I remember some things that I forgot in the first service. And one thing was this song, "He Will Hold Me Fast." For my Savior loves me so, He will hold me fast. That's what the sermon is about. And we're going to talk about, from Psalm 107, the steadfast love of God. And it's the steadfast love of God that holds us fast, that makes it possible for us to survive the things that come at us in life. He will hold me fast. Psalm 107 talks about the steadfast love of God. And the first thing that I want to do is, in the introduction, I want to talk about what is the steadfast love of God. The introduction is verses 1 through 3, and I'll read those verses. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east, the west, the north, and the south." The setting for this Psalm 107, is the context for the setting is that the Israelites, who have been held in captivity for 70 years in Babylon, are returning to the land. And the whole latter part of the whole book of Psalm, called Book 5, starts with Psalm 107, and it talks about what it's like, what psalms that they used to help them understand and celebrate and worship when they came back from captivity. And this is the first of those psalms. And so that's the setting. It's Abraham had been promised a land, a place, and the descendants of Abraham down through the history had brought them to this place. Israel, they had been there for many years. They had been faithful for some of those years, but they turned unfaithful, and God allowed them to be taken to captivity. And the Babylonians came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and took the remainder of the people captive into Babylon, and they were there 70 years. But He brought them back after that. The purpose, these first three verses talk about the setting and the purpose of this psalm. The purpose is a call to give thanks based on God's steadfast love. And so we need to understand, what does God's steadfast love mean? Hesed, H-E-S-E-D, or C-H-E-S-E-D, depending on how, I don't know Hebrew, the Hebrew language, but it's a Hebrew word that is translated steadfast love nearly 200 times in the ESV. And I wanted to read a verse, which I forgot in the first service. One of the first mentions of this word in the Old Testament, and it's in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, the context there is that the people, Moses had gone up to the top of the mountain, Mount Sinai, and had received the tablets, the Ten Commandments, brought them down, and the people had already rebelled against God, and he threw the tablets down, and they were destroyed. 34 talks about him going back and getting new tablets. And in 34, there's a very applicable verse to this, what we're talking about today. It's Exodus 34:6, and it says, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed." This is what God said. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands." And that could be interpreted for thousands of generations. Because as you go on, he says, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. God will keep steadfast love for thousands of generations, but still people can become guilty in the first three or four generations. And Moses bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped, and he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. Moses, I believe, right away understood the steadfast love of God. Pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. So back to Psalm 107. Hesed, the steadfast love of God. In there we saw the love and the mercy, two of the attributes of God, that he loves and he shows mercy. Love means God eternally gives himself to others. That's what the attribute of love means. God continually gives himself to others. And mercy means that God is good to those in misery and distress, and he is good to those who deserve punishment. So even if we deserve punishment, he is still good to us. He shows mercy on us. He shows mercy in our distress. And Psalm 107 is about a lot of distress. We're going to look at four cases of distress in Psalm 107. To help explain this word, I did some study and online stuff, and I found this very, very good, fascinating blog. And I'd like to give credit to the blog. It's by a youth pastor in a Baptist church in Hingham, Massachusetts, named Mike McGarry. And the name of the blog is Living Theologically. And he wrote this about Hesed. Hesed is the Hebrew word translated steadfast love nearly 200 times in the ESV. And this is his quote. Hesed is translated as steadfast love in most English translations in the Old Testament. And this is the quote, so I want to make sure you understand that. And is one of the most beautiful words in the entire Bible. It is his steadfast love which motivated the Son to become a man. Jesus became a man. The atoning sacrifice for the sin of his rebellious image bearers so they could be reconciled and free from guilt and shame. But how often do we read about his steadfast love without pausing to truly reflect on what it means? And there are four bullet points here as to what it means. Hesed is the drive behind the work of salvation. Salvation is based on God's Hesed love for us, his Hesed for us, his steadfast love. It is his Hesed which reached down to sinners and sent the Son as an atoning sacrifice for humanity to be redeemed and reconciled. Without Hesed, God would not have sent the Son for us. But that is the Hesed is the character of God. That the reason, I guess you could say, behind why what he did this. The third point, bullet point, is it is his Hesed which sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost to indwell believers, reconciling them to God the Father by uniting them with the Son, with God the Son through faith. And the last point that he mentions here is it is his Hesed, which means not one sheep will ever be snatched from the Father's hands. John 10:29. That's the promise that John gives there. And continuing with the quote, we continue to rely on the steadfast love of God each and every day. When we read about God's steadfast love and skip over it, we are skipping over the holy motivation behind our salvation. Next time you read it, Notice the context of God's love, God's provision for your salvation, and give thanks. And that's what we want to be reminded of this morning as we go through Psalm 107 to understand God's steadfast love and give thanks. So I thought it was an appropriate sermon for this week, since it is the week of Thanksgiving ahead of us. By the way, most of you, I believe, got a paper with Psalm 107 on it, and we were handing them out so that if you want to take any notes or mark anything up, you don't have to mark up your Bible. You can mark it up there. So if you didn't get one of those, Barbie has some more. If you want to raise your hand, she can give you one. After the introduction in Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3, which I just read, there are four examples of God's steadfast love in the middle of adversity, in the middle of trials. These examples are sometimes, the cause behind these examples are sometimes caused by the person or the group of people themselves, by actions that they have done. But there's at least one of them that's not as a result of that. It's just something that happens in life. Kind of like COVID. How many of you caused COVID? Oh, we didn't cause COVID. But has it affected you? Has it afflicted you? We can apply, has said, the steadfast love of God in this that we're going through with COVID. And we can cry out to God for his love and mercy to be upon us. The examples that are given in Psalm 107, the four examples, are arranged in a set pattern to help the hearers to remember what they teach. And so if you look down through there, the arrangement is rather helpful and interesting, and it was this psalm was actually designed to be a psalm that the community could come together and read this psalm together, and it was done, and some churches even to this day do it in an antiphonal. You heard that word, antiphonal pattern. You're probably more familiar, as I'm more familiar, with responsive readings. Do you remember having responsive readings in church, where the pastor or the leader would read something and you would respond with a verse and it would go back and forth? That's the way this psalm is. We're not going to do it that way necessarily this morning, but that's the way it's written. And so there are things that are repeated from one example to the next example. Let's look at the first example and we'll talk about what it's saying and how they're repeated. Beginning in verse 4 through verse 9 talks about this. It says, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. So they were lost out in the desert. And being lost out in the desert, being from the desert out here, you probably have a better understanding than I did growing up what it meant to be lost in a desert. You don't have water. You don't have water available. It's hard to survive if you get lost and don't have those things that are in it. And so they wandered in desert wastes, finding a way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Now, he talks more about the city to dwell in. And my growing up, a city wasn't a place I really desired to go to find security. But in this day, the time this was written, a city was a place of security. It was a place where they could go to, and there were walls around a city, and there was protection from the enemy. And I believe that's why they were searching for a city. So they wandered, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, and their souls fainted within them. In verse 6, it says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And by the way, this is repeated in the next three examples, that same verse. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. memorize that verse and you have four verses memorized in one memorization. And then he going on, it says, he led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. And that's the pattern. That's what we see in each of these arrangements. We are distressed. We call out to the Lord. And God answers with what? His chesed, his steadfast love. He answers and he brings them to the city that they long to go to. And he satisfies the hungry soul and he fills us with good things. That's the first example that we see of what God means when he has steadfast love for us. The second one is in verses 10 through 16. And in this one, the context or the story is about someone who faced darkness and death in prison. They might have been put in prison through no fault of their own. They might have been put in prison when they were in Babylon captivity. And they happened to pray looking out a window and their enemy reported them and they were put in prison because they prayed. Or they might have been put in prison because of their own sin, they brought it on themselves. But this is what the psalmist says about this. He says, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and had spurned the counsel of the Most High. That's the cause that's given here. So he bowed down their hearts. He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then, and you can read this with me on yours, verse 13. What does they say? Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Let's try that again. Read it with me. Then they cried to the Lord in trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. He let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Why did God respond to these who were sitting in darkness and shadow of death, prisoners, in irons, they lost their freedom. They didn't have the freedom to move about. God had mercy on them. God heard their cry in the midst of their distress, and he burst their bonds apart. Now, an essential part of this psalm is verse 15, just like verse 8 in the first example. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. That's what one of the things we want to get out of this is we must thank the Lord when he delivers us from whatever it is that is distressing us. For he shatters the door of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. And by the way, in Babylon, that was one of the things that were in prisons in those days. The prisons were kept secure by doors of bronze and bars of iron. And he shatters that and allows them to go free. The third example of God's steadfast love in the midst of adversity is verses 17 through 22. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. Now here, this is definitely one where the person is bringing on himself the affliction. They were fools in their sinful ways, and because of their iniquity suffered affliction. Some of us, maybe all of us, have at some point in our lives been in that situation. The suffering comes about because of our own foolish ways, sinful ways. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. So even though they brought this on themselves, they cried to the Lord, and he gave them his steadfast love. He delivered them from their distress. And the response then is, and you can read it with me, verse 21, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And continuing on, it says, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. And some of the psalms that we read were songs of joy that were written because God delivered them out of their distress, out of their affliction. The fourth example of God's steadfast love in the midst of affliction, in the midst of adversity, is definitely one that's not necessarily, no, I say it's not based on something that the person did and they were suffering affliction. All they did was they went into a boat. It says some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. And historically, if you look back at you read stories about like the early people that came across the Atlantic Ocean from Europe, or people that went around the southern tip of South America or the southern tip of Africa, went up into the Pacific Ocean, ships got into trouble often on the ocean. Today, our ships are bigger and we don't hear of too many disasters on the ocean because of ships. But this was a common thing that happened. People would go out on the Mediterranean Sea and they'd want to go over to maybe the area we call Italy today or North Africa or someplace on that, and they'd run into a storm like Paul ran into a storm, and the ship is wrecked and sunk. That's what this one is talking about. They went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. I use this as an illustration. I've never been on a boat that sank, but one time in my life we were up in northern Minnesota on Lake Cabotogama. If you've ever been up there, it's a big lake, beautiful lake, and we were going out to a restaurant that was only accessible by boat on the east end of the lake. And on our way out there, a micro storm all of a sudden hit the boat. And it was like a water spout, and it went right over top of the boat like this, and we had a canvas cover, and it got, it, I don't know if it got ripped. It wasn't totally destroyed. I know my brother had a real nice hat, and he lost his hat, and he's bemoaned it ever since. But it didn't sink our boat. But you can imagine if something 10 times that size hit your boat and the distress that you would be in. And that's what this psalm is talking about. They went down there. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. They were in distress. What is going to happen to us? Is our life going to be snuffed out in this circumstance that we're in. What did they do? Read it with me. Then they cried. This is verse 28. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. And reading on, it says, he made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. And then they were glad, and the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. And what is their response? What is the expected response? Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. When God rescues us, our response must be that. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. When we get through this COVID time, we need to have a celebration that God brings us through, and he will bring us through this time. The next section of the psalm is different, and I've been thinking, and after I preached the first part of this sermon, I thought a little bit more about this. It talks about the sovereignty of God, and it's verses 33 through 42. Let me read it. And this is the psalmist describing the actions of God. He is God. In verse 33, he turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of the inhabitants. Does that actually happen? Has that happened in your lifetime? I think in the history of our country, and you go back and read stories about the Great Depression, I mean about the 30s, when the Great Depression took place, but the 30s, how the Midwest was totally, the farming in the Midwest almost totally stopped for about 6-8 years. Total destruction. And there were, you can read during that time, there were a lot of prayer meetings. There were. There's actual history of how people. And if you knew anybody that went through that period of time, your parents, I don't think anybody in here went through that period of time. But that actually happened. And here it attributes those things happening to God, the sovereignty of God. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert, and then he does a 180 degree opposite twist on this. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. God brings those circumstances about. Why? Why would that happen? What would be the benefit of God doing that? Or, you know, I don't understand the full mind of God, and I can't say what he's thinking. But I can see that if you fit this into the context of those four situations where distress is brought about, he desires us to respond to him in the midst of these things that happen in the way we have been describing here. To cry out to him, to seek his mercy, to seek his love, to for him to allow his steadfast love to bring about relief from the distress we might find ourselves in. Reading on in that section, it says, when they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes, but he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts his mouth. Interesting little passage. Think on that one. What does God mean there? But I wasn't, I'm not intending I want to focus on the steadfast love of God. Even in any situation that we are faced with, as the ones described here, our response must be to cry out to God and allow his steadfast love, or ask for his steadfast love, to bring a solution to our distress. And that's what verse 43 is the conclusion of this psalm. The challenge, our response, that's what I call it in my notes here. And there's two things that we must do. And it says this: whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Whoever is wise, let him attend. The key word there is attend. Attend to these things. What things are we to attend to? We're to attend to the things that he has described in this psalm about being in distress and crying out to God. Think about these things and attend to them. Apply them in the situations that you face in life. That's what he's saying here. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. And the second thing is, let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Attend to these things and consider what? The steadfast love of the Lord. The steadfast love of the Lord didn't stop with the conclusion of the Old Testament. It didn't stop at the conclusion of the New Testament. It has continued on throughout history. It began way back at the beginning, and it has continued on. The steadfast love of the Lord is forever. It is his character. And we must attend to that and consider the steadfast love of the Lord and do what these people did in this psalm. Let me get one that I can quote here. Which one? Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. But before that, let us cry out to the Lord in our trouble and ask to be delivered from our distress, and then thank him. That's what this psalm is about, I believe, the steadfast love of God, and I believe it's something that we can apply to our lives, to any situation that we face in our lives. Do we believe? Have we been redeemed? He is there. Cry out to him in your distress, and then thank him when he brings solution, brings it to a close. So remember the steadfast love of God, Psalm 107. Might be a good thing to read together on Thanksgiving Day. Steadfast love of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we ask that you would guide us as we attend to these things. Give us the wisdom to desire to attend to these things. And as we consider your steadfast love, we thank you that you are a God who has steadfast love, who has said for us. We praise your almighty name. We praise you for the Savior you sent because of your steadfast love, that we might have life, life now and life eternal. We praise your wonderful name. It's in the name of our Savior we pray. Amen.